He's not saying come and be the grumpy old people. Sit there with frowns on your faces the whole time and, you know, gonna sing two hymns in a hurry and then go home, right? The reality is, we're to be joyful. Now, as we're gonna see, joy comes from a relationship with the Lord.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, we're taking a quick 3-day departure from our current series in Ezekiel.
Yes, we are, Dave, and we're turning to Psalm 95, where we're going to see what true worship should be like, which is going to expose all the phoniness of worship in churches these days. Okay, let's turn together to Psalm 95.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, if you think about it, there are basically two types of people in churches these days. Now, certainly there are those who know the Lord and those who don't. We can certainly break it down to that. But within that, there are those who come to church and are joyful and thankful and praise the Lord and give Him glory and want to be in church and want to hear the music. They want to praise God. They want to lift up His name. And there's another group of people who come who, quite frankly, complain. Maybe the music isn't fast enough, or it's too slow, or it's that we sang that song before, or whatever it might be. There's two types of people in churches, those who are thankful and those who complain. Now today we're going to see that God gives mankind an ultimatum. And it's quite a strange ultimatum. It goes as such, worship the Lord or else. And you go, wait a second, worship the Lord or else? Well, today we're going to see what I'm talking about. So would you turn your Bibles to Psalm 95? Psalm 95. We're taking a short little break from Ezekiel. We're in chapter 30, going on past that now, 31 Ezekiel. End of 30, going 31. But we're going to take a little break today and take a look at Psalm 95. Now, if you're familiar with the Psalms, we know the term that we have, the English word, comes from a Greek word, ultimately, psalmoi, which means basically to pluck on a string. And we know that in the Psalms that these are the Lord's inspired hymns, in a sense, God's word set to music initially, set to music. Now, the Hebrew word translated psalm and song are both words for music. They're both words for music. So the Psalms are thus inspired lyrics or hymns. They're a book of praise originally set to music. Now, we know there are 5 books in the Psalms, 150 Psalms. And within that, the theme in the Psalms is largely an inspired response to God's word. Back to God. Most of the Psalms, the focus is back on the Lord. You know, you have God in the law and the prophets speaking to mankind. You have in wisdom writings, you have inspired man speaking to man in the context of wisdom. And then you have in the Psalms a response back to God concerning His word, concerning how He works that through in our lives. And so today, Psalm 95, we're going to see specifically that we need to worship from a changed heart, or we will perish with a hardened heart. Verse 1, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are also his. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation, and I said, there are people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, if you read this psalm like we just did, you might say, sounds kind of schizophrenic. Come, let us worship and bow down, and then, hey, if you don't harden your hearts, or you're not going to enter God's rest. Pretty interesting. And obviously, there are two parts in this psalm. The first is an invitation to those who are God's people, those who are his sheep, those who have been saved by their sin, ultimately by the blood of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for the sheep. There's an invitation to worship corporately together. And then the second part is quite a contrast. There's an ultimatum. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, or you'll miss his salvation rest. We have the ultimatum first given to Israel in the wilderness, now repeated in the book of Hebrews, and now we see it here in this psalm. So then, we in our sinfulness, we don't like ultimatums. We don't like it when anyone says to us, do this or else. We don't like it. But here, God is saying, worship him joyfully and willingly from a changed heart, or perish, or perish. And we're going to see that these ultimatums, or this command to worship is a command that's not burdensome for true believers, but it is burdensome for those who don't know the Lord, who are hardened in their sin. Okay, so what is the psalmist trying to say here? Notice, first of all, as we begin the first half of the psalm, those who claim to be God's people are commanded to continually and joyfully worship the Lord together. Verse 1, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. You have the command within these two verses to come, and then we have three, let us. A command, and then three exhortations. And did you notice these first two verses are all about worship? Now, sadly, these days in churches, we have so many wrong views concerning worship. It is almost as if worship is made the equivalent of music. If it is music, it is worship. That's almost what people say in churches these days. Worship band, worship leader, worship time. It always points to music. Well, it's interesting. If you remember the true story of those who were on the boat in Galilee, when Jesus came walking on the water and called Peter out, and he was doing good till he started to look at the storm and sank, but the Lord, save me, shortest prayer in the Bible, right? And the Lord did. You remember when they got back in the boat, they worshiped him, saying, this is certainly God's son, right? They worshiped him. Now, worship is put together with music too. We do see that. We're going to see that here today. We're going to see singing and music. But it's more than that. It's more than simply music. You see, some people think that worship is whatever they want. Pastors who throw out the authority of God's word and make it something that entertains and sucks in the world to keep the pews filled. Well, that'll work. Works for non-believers, and it works with non-believers. But we see in Scripture, worship is quite different than what we see in churches these days. So the first half of our psalm is all about worship from God's perspective, not man's. From God's perspective, not man's. And again, as I mentioned before, if you're a true believer, God's commands are not burdensome unless we're in sin some, right? If we're not walking with the Lord, or we got stuff going on, and our eyes are off of him, it becomes burdensome. But if we're turning to him, even in the midst of difficulty, trusting in him. His commands are not burdensome, as we see in 1 John chapter 5. So with that in mind, I believe this passage is going to help us evaluate where we stand with the Lord. It's going to be an evaluation. It's going to help you see where how you're doing with him right now. You know, I got this new kind of dumb watch. It tells me how I'm doing with all kinds of stuff all the time. You said a little while ago, you're stressed out. Well, yeah, I'm sharing, you know, here, but God's word is better than a dumb watch, obviously. It shows us where we're at spiritually. Spiritually. It reflects upon our hearts and reveals where our hearts are at. And that's what it's going to do today. Okay, so notice back in our passage. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And again, we make some observations here. We have, first of all, this is a command. Oh, come, let us sing. You know, it sounds kind of like an offer. Like, hey, come on, you know. It's actually a command in the Hebrew. It's actually, come and let us do so. Come and let us sing. And it's in a plural. It's corporate. It's corporate. You know, we're to be assembling together. You know, people that don't go to church have a problem. Now, there's not a lot of very good churches. I understand that. But you need to go to church. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews chapter 10, as some have made it their habit. If you do, that may be an evidence that you haven't come to faith. You haven't come to faith. So here, we are to come, you all, together. Come, you all, together. The Bible is, part of it's Southern, isn't it? Come, you all, that's what it says here, basically, in the original. Come and then let us joyfully do these things. It's an expectation to corporate worship and to worship him joyfully. Now, again, we don't just come together for music. We don't simply come for preaching. We come to worship the Lord. And that includes both those things. It includes hearing the word of God and responding to it. And it includes singing, as we'll see, unto him in the context of a changed heart. So what does this worship look like, this worship of God that is biblical look like? Look again, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Did you notice something common there? The Lord. The focus of our worship is the Lord God. It's the Lord God. You know, so often in churches today, the focus is me, 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 me. And if you talk to most people why they choose the church they go to, a lot of them will talk about the music. A lot of them will talk about the worship, you know. And it's worship that centers around me rather than around the Lord. But here it's about the Lord. Oh, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. The focus of our worship is the living God. The focus of our worship is the living God. And if we miss that, we have missed everything. We've missed everything. If you come to church simply just for the preaching, you're missing it. Yes, we need to hear the word of God. If you come simply for the music, you are missing it. We come to worship the living God. Come to worship the living God. And notice this invitation centers around joy. Let us sing for joy, verse 1. Let us shout joyfully, middle of verse 2. Let us shout joyfully. He's not saying come and be the grumpy old people. Sit there with frowns on your faces the whole time and, you know, going to sing two hymns in a hurry and then go home, right? The reality is we're to be joyful. Now, as we're going to see, joy comes from a relationship with the Lord. It doesn't come from something that is manufactured. That's temporal happiness, circumstantial happiness. But joy comes from a relationship with the Lord. Now, I can't see what's going on in your hearts, but over the years, throughout the years, I've pastored for many years. You know, I've led music often, not all the time, but often, and I've seen the faces of people out in the congregation. And I tell you, sometimes it doesn't look too joyful. It doesn't. I'm not telling you to make up a fake joyful face, you know, next time we sing a song. But, you know, I don't know what's going on in your hearts. You know, only God does. But we should have joy. We should have joy. We should have joy. You see, when we sing about our tremendous Savior, we sing about Jesus Christ, that should bring smiles. And it does in some. I see some songs we see smiles because of what God has done for us. Not saying to be fake, but examine your heart. If it's not bringing a sense of joy when you sing, like what we sang earlier, there is a fountain filled with blood, you know, straight from Emmanuel's veins, right? When we sing these tremendous songs about our Lord, what a friend we have in Jesus. That should bring joy to your heart. It should bring joy to your heart if you sing unto Him. Let me share some verses about joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. That's pretty awesome. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The Jews were getting broken up over their what happened and how things had been going on with Nehemiah. And the Nehemiah, as they're worshiping, says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord. We know that the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit consists of love, joy. When the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, is working on the heart of the child of God, there's going to be joy. And yes, we do go through difficulties. We are the only ones who can have joy in the midst of difficulties. We can have His joy in the midst of troubled times. Psalm 5, 11. But let all who take refuge in Thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. The reality is, when we start to focus on what Christ has done for us and what we've been forgiven from, we're going to be joyful. David shares in Psalm 32, after he confessed his great sin, this is what he shares. He says, how blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, whose spirit there is no deceit. He says, you're blessed if your sins are covered. You are blessed. And then he goes on later on, Psalm 32, verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Be glad for what Christ has done for you. Be glad. We're to fix our eyes on our circumstances, right? We're to fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, we need to physically move our hearts away, in a sense. Not physically, but we need to pull our hearts away from our circumstances and renew our minds and get them on Jesus. The Lord understands. He's gracious. We need to get our hearts on Him. Psalm 43, oh, send out thy light and thy truth and let them lead me. Psalm 43, verse 3, let them be to me thy holy hill and to thy dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Psalm 71, verse 23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee and my soul which thou hast redeemed. When David had confessed his sin, we know Psalm 32, he's teaching transgressors. In Psalm 51, he acknowledges his sin. And within that, after he acknowledges his sin, he says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. There's joy. There's joy. And he's praying, God, do that. You see, it's when our focus gets off and we sin by not focusing or trusting the Lord, our focus, we lose our joy. We lose our joy. One pastor writes, joy and holiness are inseparable. A holy Christian is able to rejoice even when passing through the deepest afflictions, but a believer who through unwatchfulness has permitted himself to fall into unholy ways loses immediately the joy of the Lord, which is the strength of those who walk in communion with Himself. Now the Lord's gracious. He knows that we go through trouble. We see it in David's life. We see David go from those points where he's lost his joy, but then he turns back to the Lord and you see him focusing on Him and gaining back that strength. The joy of the Lord is a strength. God's gracious. So I want to ask you, have you lost your joy? Well, I would say sin has caused you to lose sight of Jesus, what He's done for you. And if you're shriveling under the weight of your sin, confess, and then only you will be, and then you'll be able to rejoice in the Lord. Be thankful for what He's done. We need to continually confess our sins, continually confess. We need to renew our minds. Stuff happens and things hit us and we get swamped. We got to renew our minds. We got to get in the Word and allow His Word to change our hearts. You see, we have such great reason to rejoice. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians chapter 3, chapter 4 also. You see, our joy is summed up in the person and work of Christ, and it is sin that obscures our view or our self-focus. You see, if we walk by the flesh, we're not going to be joyful. If we walk by the Spirit, allowing His Spirit to illumine the Word and to walk in the context of obedience to Him, we have love and we have joy. Galatians chapter 5. So true biblical corporate worship is done in the context of joy. So when we come here and we're singing, if you don't have joy, there's something wrong. And I know, we all know from experience, we're all human beings, that when situations come upon our lives, we lose our joy. If we get focused on them. There are difficulties that come. I know that. You know that. But we need to renew our minds and get our focus back on Jesus. And there should be joy. When we sing about what He has done for us, when we praise Him for who He is, there should be joy. There should be joy. You know, it's interesting. I also mentioned that times, you know, there's times having pastor for many years, you know, after the service, you know, I'm just like so thankful for what I've just heard. And it's crazy because I've heard it for myself, all right? But still, yeah, so thankful for the Word of God. And I'm like thinking about it, and I come and talk to people, and it's like all of a sudden they're talking about their whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, man, I'm so joyful. I'm thinking so thankful and joyful. And then it's kind of like a big downer, you know. The reality is we have so much to be joyful for. But we need to keep His Word on our hearts and our minds. We need to think about it. You think about it. We're going to see Christ is the rock of our salvation. And if you're not joyful, then maybe something's going on. So back to our passage. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. That's what it says. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Notice that parallelism. Singing should be part of our worship. We'll be singing for joy to the Lord. We're singing unto the Lord. We're singing to Him. We're singing to Him when we come here. We're not singing to ourselves and to each other. We're singing to the Lord. And notice in parallel, shout joyful. There should be some sound coming out of our mouths corporately. And if you're feeling, you know, self-conscious because you don't have a operatic voice, it doesn't matter. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Now, don't distract everybody by singing louder than everyone else. But sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. So notice, it is in the context of joyful singing that we worship the Lord.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today you made the point that when we sing in corporate worship, we are to joyfully sing unto the Lord.
Yes, Dave, singing should be part of our worship. And as we've seen, it should be singing for joy to the Lord. You see, folks, if your heart is right, this is the way it should be. But if your heart isn't right, you're not going to be singing joyfully to Him. So let me ask you this. Who did you sing to this last Sunday? Our singing should be joyously unto Him. Our God is a great God, and if you see Him this way,
You're going to want to praise him and sing unto him, and we're going to be thankful and give him all the glory joyfully.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.